we're so used to seeing things that, in my opinion, aren't quite right in our treatment of animals.
You know, the less we eat, the less violence is being done, and the less destruction to the environment.
Everyone eats, and everyone has to make a moral decision every time that we sit down to the table.
Welcome to the Animal Voices Radio Show, Western Canada's only radio program on animal advocacy and compassionate living. This is 100.5 FM Co-op Radio CFRO in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Today is Friday, November 3rd, 2017, and I am your host, Jillian Walters, and I am joined here today by our co-host and control room operator, Amir Ali.
Hello.
Hi.
And our guest co-host, the famous King the Vegan Kid.
Hi.
For our feature interview today, we have animal activist Cassie King, live from Berkeley, California. Cassie is an organizer with the grassroots animal rights network, Direct Action Everywhere. She is a student at UC Berkeley and the president of the Berkeley Organization for Animal Advocacy. On October 22nd, Cassie was one of 23 activists arrested on trespassing charges while participating in an open rescue at Saba Live Poultry, an Oakland butcher and slaughterhouse. The rescue was streamed live and made national headlines. 200 people from all over the country participated in the action, in which a lamb, a quail, and a bunny were saved from slaughter. Stay tuned for this story and find out what it is like to be an activist in the animal rights capital of North America. The interview is coming up in about 20 minutes.
I'm looking forward to that. It is that time of year again here at Co-op Radio. It is the fall member drive. And although the last few days have felt more like winter time, it is the fall member drive. This is an extremely important time for Co-op Radio, and especially an important time for Animal Voices. Co-op Radio is member-driven, meaning without the contributions of all the volunteers and member donations, the station could not exist. This also means Animal Voices could not exist without donations and member support. There aren't many stations like Co-op Radio that allow such a free platform for social justice and other pressing issues that face the world today, like environmental issues, and obviously for us here at Animal Voices, animal rights. Find me another station that offers a platform for passionate activists to talk about animal rights every single Friday on FM airwaves. I assure you, it's not possible. That's why we're asking for your help. A donation can be as small as $1, but we would love if you could offer at least a $5 sustaining membership and give up your soy latte today. A sustaining membership is the way to go. There are multiple ways to donate. You can call Co-op Radio directly at 604-684-8494. Someone should be standing by to take your call. Or you can donate online at cooperadio.org and click the donate button. Just remember, if you are donating, to mention that you're donating on behalf of Animal Voices, as we do have a quota to meet as well. If you become a member, there is more to it than just donating. You are also entitled to exclusive member benefits. You get a share in the co-op. You get access to all the station goodies, which you can learn more about on the website at cooperadio.org. And you even get a tax receipt. You also get the ability to take part in station giveaways and a lot more. Co-op Radio has no commercials like most radio stations do. The content is completely unique. Every show is different, and voices for so many communities are being heard thanks to Co-op Radio. One of our listeners last week actually donated $300, and we thank you again if you're listening today for that kind donation. Obviously, $300 is a lot of money, and we do not expect you to donate that much, but you can donate, like I said, as little as a dollar, sustain a membership for as little as $5 a month, and speaking for myself, I spend way, way, way more on coffee a month than $5. Co-op Radio has been around for 40 years thanks to its members and volunteers, and Animal Voices has been around for 20 years, which is extremely impressive, and we want Animal Voices to continue to exist because we will always need this platform to speak on behalf of the animals. Again, you can call 604-684-8494 or do it the easy way at cooperadio.org, and again, just make sure you mention that you're donating on behalf of Animal Voices. We thank you for your continued support and could not keep the show running without you. We are independent, free from corporate influence, and we want to stay that way. Your donations allow that. Something we did last week, actually, was share stories about how we got involved with Co-op Radio. Gillian, you are one of the newest faces of the Animal Voices team, and maybe you could share with the listener what your story is about how you got involved with the show.
For sure. I think Animal Voices is a real gift for Vancouver and for all the people involved with animal rights.
Mm-hmm.
So Jen Dobell asked me and Kingston to come on the show. I think it was for Mother's Day last year. And so we just shared a bit about our activism and our veganism. And then I decided to learn how to co-host. And now I'm producing the show for the first time.
So it's amazing.
It's so exciting. Yeah. And what I love about it is you get interviews and book reviews from people all over the world.
Yeah.
And I think that's so awesome.
Yeah, I think one of the shows, Elisa's trying to, we were going to be calling the Black Mamba poaching unit.
Yes.
Unfortunately, the interview never panned out. But
I think about that all the time. It was so exciting to have them on.
There are opportunities like that all the time. And we have talked to people, again, from all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
I actually have a favorite show memory that I'd like to share.
Yeah.
When I first started producing for the Animal Voices show, and you might be able to relate to this, one of the most nerve-wracking moments for me was the interview, how to conduct it and all that was involved in preparing for it and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember how we decided to be interviewing this person for this particular show, but Matt Ball, I'm not sure if you're familiar with Matt Ball.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually the co-founder of Vegan Outreach and the co-author of the Animal Activist Handbook. So we had spoken to Matt Ball. He had agreed to come on the show. And he was actually in town, I believe, for the Walk for Farm Animals event. He was doing some sort of speak out for it. And he actually suggested coming into the studio to do the interview. And so that was also my first, like, in-person interview. So that was kind of exciting. And he had sat in on the show during the entire show. But when the interview actually started, and it was just me talking to Matt with my questions that I had prepared, there was a sort of, like, serenity and calm that overcame the entire show. And I felt so immersed in it. And there seemed to be this mutual respect and energy that was overwhelming, but in a really good way. And I'll always remember that that feeling that I had interviewing Matt Ball on that show. We were talking about it before the show a little bit, but there was a memory that came to mind for you and to do with the Cow Save, I think you
were
saying.
Right. It was the organizer for Toronto Cow Save, I think, was on talking about his experiences bearing witness. And I was so immersed in what he was saying. It was like he was so descriptive in telling the story that I tears were rolling down my face.
Mm-hmm.
And I forgot that I was on the air. And it's just those type of experiences are so rich and so real, and you don't get them on mainstream radio or mainstream media.
No.
So that's really special.
Yeah. Something else for me that the show is really important for that I realized when I first started volunteering with the show, the show actually is the main reason I actually got involved in activism, because we talk about a lot of events on the show and things that are going around in the animal activist community in Vancouver. And I was blown away by how much work that people actually do in the city. And that's all thanks to Animal Voices. I spent some time in Toronto and was kind of surprised at how little there seems to be going on in the activist scene. This was a couple of years ago. Maybe it's changed now, but there didn't really seem to be a whole lot going on in Toronto. I know that there is a show in Toronto called Animal Voices, but I'm not sure if they share as much as we do about the local activist scene and stuff like that. So again, so many reasons to be supporting Animal Voices and Co-op Radio. If you missed the call to action, you can call Co-op Radio directly at 604-684-8494. Someone will take your call, or you can donate online at coopradio.org. And just remember, if you are donating, to mention that you're donating on behalf of Animal Voices. Like I mentioned, if you do become a member, there is more to it than just giving us your money. You are also entitled to exclusive member benefits. You get a share in the co-op, you get a tax receipt, you get access to all the station goodies. You have the opportunity, if you like, to get involved more directly and volunteer at the station. I've learned so much about radio thanks to Co-op Radio. I have a job in radio now, and I wouldn't have got that job without Animal Voices and Co-op Radio. So I'm extremely thankful for the opportunity in hindsight. Like, I wasn't at the time that I started. And I actually never got to share how I started in Animal Voices. It was maybe 2014, where the person that I was seeing at the time knew Allison Cole. And Allison had mentioned that there was an opportunity, I guess, at some point to do what I'm doing now, which is operating the board. So I decided on a whim, sure, I would do it because I went to school for broadcasting, but I hadn't done anything with it for a long time, and came in and started, board hopping here, and that just sort of exploded all of a sudden, and my passion for radio was ignited thanks to Co-op Radio. So I'm just extremely thankful that I had that opportunity. And again, it's led to a lot of really interesting opportunities in my actual life. Again, as I was mentioning before, Co-op Radio, we don't have any commercials like most radio stations do. The content is completely unique. Every single show is different. There is a voice for so many different communities, and obviously we reach a very specific one here for animal rights. Co-op Radio, again, as I mentioned, has been around for 40 years thanks to its members and volunteers. And again, we do want to keep it that way.
Yeah, and Amir, I just wanted to kind of echo what you were saying. This group of Animal Voices producers and co-hosts are very generous with their time to teach you. There's no judgments. I mean, when I first started, I was very nervous about using my voice, and I still am, but I'm pushing through it. But there's no judgments. There's no, you did a bad job or anything like that. It's always encouragement. And that's one of the reasons that I asked Kingston if he wanted to come on, because that's kind of his passion, and I want to encourage that passion, and this is a perfect opportunity for him to learn the ropes when he's young.
Yeah, it's so exciting. Like, I wish that I had this opportunity when I was King's age. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you must be super excited to be here today, aren't you, King?
Totally.
Yeah, it's awesome. So again, you can also get involved in other ways. All of our shows are produced by volunteers. You can also be a volunteer. There's, I think, an orientation that happens at the beginning of every month. Just go to cooperadio.org to find out more information. Again, if you do wish to donate to us today on our behalf, we are very thankful. You can call 604-684-8494 or donate at cooperadio.org. Just click the donate button, and again, make sure you mention that you're donating on behalf of Animal Voices. We could not keep the show running without you, and I want to make that very clear. We are independent, free from corporate influences. We don't have commercials. There is so many good things to say about Co-op Radio and Animal Voices. There aren't any stations in my mind like Co-op Radio that allow such a free platform for social justice and other pressing issues that face the world today. I really don't believe that there are any shows on AM or FM that even give animal rights a platform like this to talk about. It's kind of controversial, actually, for most stations to be talking about, animal rights.
Yeah, that's true.
So, again, lastly, if you do wish to donate, 604-684-8494, somebody at the station will be able to take your call. And if you want to do it online, you can do that at cooperadio.org. Just click the donate button, and again, just make sure you mention that you are donating on behalf of Animal Voices. We will have some events for you right after this.
Did you know that Vancouver Co-op Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM, has over 90 different shows produced by over 350 community members? This wide range of programming produced by our diverse group of programmers ensures that we have a show you'll love. We have shows on feminism, spirituality, disability rights, politics, unions, and parenting. We play jazz, indie rock, reggae, blues, and folk. We broadcast in a dozen different languages and have more First Nations programs than any other radio station in Vancouver. Find your show on Vancouver Co-op Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM. All different, all the time.
This is your big chance, so don't blow it.
We're here to present the cutting-edge radio you want to hear. What about a program featuring just local Vancouver bands?
No market for that.
We have an expert on gospel music.
No.
Our public affairs programs dig deep with voices other stations won't touch.
No.
Programs with First Nations hosts?
Sorry, no market for that.
We've got a lot of shows in other languages for people all over the world. Folk music?
You're kidding, right?
Who would sponsor that?
Can't make big bucks with programs people want to hear? You have to go to Co-op Radio for that. Community-owned radio. Now at 100.5 FM, the switch is on.
For local events. Sunday, November 5th from 1 to 3 p.m. Join the Cube of Truth for International Cube Day at Granville and Georgia Streets. Also on November 5th at the Downtown Library from 1 to 4. Orsay presents Dairy Free Living. Tickets are $15. Enjoy and explore healthy alternatives to dairy because cow's milk is for baby cows. On November 11th from 12 to 3 p.m. at Central Park in Burnaby, Vancouver Chicken Save is inviting you to disrupt a chicken nugget eating contest. Leaflets and signs will be provided. On November 12th, the Direct Action Everywhere Vancouver chapter is having their monthly potluck. And community building on November 19th is a volunteer day at Hearth on Noses. Both events are kid-friendly. Mark your calendar for November 24th. It's for Free Friday. Stay tuned for details.
Have you ever been to any of the Cube of Truth days?
I have. I went to one with James Aspie in the summer. That was pretty awesome. I mean, you get so many people stopping, so it creates a large audience.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great way to start a conversation.
Yeah, I haven't been to one myself, but I've heard a lot of really good things about it.
If you have an animal-friendly event that you'd like to have announced on the show, please send us an email at radioanimalvoices@gmail.com or post it on our Facebook page, Animal Voices Vancouver. And now for the news. So we've been following this story for a few months now about the changes to the Canada Food Guide. Did you guys know that the Canada Food Guide is the second most requested document behind the income tax forms?
Wow.
Yeah, it's widely distributed by dietitians and physicians and used by institutions such as schools and hospitals to create meal plans. We all know that the current Canada Food Guide is seriously outdated. So the recent changes that Health Canada drafted is pretty exciting. And at first I thought, this can't be real. Is it really happening? So the new draft of the food guide promotes plant-based protein over meat and eliminates dairy as a food group. The draft also recommends Canadians avoid saturated fats, which are found almost exclusively in animal foods. These science-based recommendations are good for animals, people, health, and the environment. However, and I knew this would happen, the dairy farmers of Canada are lobbying quite fiercely. I'll just tell you about the local. Did you read the Globe and Mail uncovered secret documents?
No.
Secret documents from Agri-Food Canada lobbying Health Canada. They discovered secret documents and meetings which took place this past year showing Agri-Food Canada government officials pressuring colleagues at Health Canada to give them special treatment. So they're still trying to fight to have dairy in the food, in the health guide. That's amazing. When you look at the latest news that's been happening that shows that veganism is taking over. Did you know that Dairy Queen, the ice cream fast food chain, is struggling to survive and they are closing more than 30 locations as a result of bankruptcy? So that shows that people are not eating anymore, not eating fast food, specifically dairy. And big business is catching on that plant-based diet is the future. The food company known as Danone, the yogurt company, famous for yogurt, is investing millions in plant-based beverage facilities in Virginia, and they produce Silk So Delicious and Vega. And Campbell's has also recently joined the Plant-Based Foods Association. It's a vegan lobbying group. And you also know that Ben & Jerry's is launching vegan versions of its popular ice cream.
A lot of those in stores, right?
Yeah.
it's like, woohoo.
I'm always tempted, but I'm like, I kind of watch what I intake in terms of sugar and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, it's always so tempting.
Yeah, I know. Tyson has also invested in a plant-based company, Beyond Meat, and launched a $150 million venture capital fund to invest in startups that develop meat substitutes. Yeah. That's another story.
Yeah.
Yeah. So another exciting, does anybody like cinnamon buns?
Me.
Kingston loves like cinnamon buns.
Well, I don't.
What are you going to say, Kingston?
I only like them with frosting on them.
Well, listen to this, because the California-based vegan franchise Cinnaholic, that was formed in Berkeley, plans a massive expansion across Canada. There's 70 new locations in the works for Canada, starting in Edmonton in 2018, followed by Toronto, Regina, and Winnipeg. But I didn't hear any mention of Vancouver, but they must be coming here. So Cinnaholic's menu centers around vegan cinnamon rolls that can be customized with a selection of 30 frosting flavors, such as cream cheese, caramel, cake batter, and more than 20 toppings, including brownie bites, cookie dough, and marshmallows.
I didn't realize there were that many types of frosting for cinnamon buns.
Me neither until I read that. Another indication that veganism is on the rise. So, some great news out of India. They've banned the use of all wild animals in circuses. So, specifically, elephants. Did you guys hear about that?
I did hear about that, actually. Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting coming out of India, because a lot of people look at a place like India, and obviously they're technically like a developing nation, but a lot of their policies on stuff like this is very progressive, and it beats out, you know, things in Canada even.
Yeah, that was interesting.
So they canceled the recognition of all circuses in the country that force wild animals to perform tricks. And yeah, obviously in Asia, circuses are pretty widespread.
Mm-hmm. A lot of roadside circuses, I imagine. Yeah, so several other countries, including Romania, Iran, the Netherlands, and the United Kingdom, as well as a number of U.S. cities in L.A., New York, and Portland, Maine, have already installed similar legislation that bans the use of wild animals in circuses, showing us that there's a world, that the world as a whole has been making giant strides towards a more humane future.
Yeah, thank goodness for that. So yeah, we do have your interviewee standing by if you'd like to introduce her.
I'm so excited. Yes. So Cassie King is an organizer with the grassroots animal rights network Direct Action Everywhere. She is a student at UC Berkeley and the president of the Berkeley Organization for Animal Advocacy. Hi, Cassie.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
It's so good to hear your voice.
Thank you.
So I read in your bio that you were a vegetarian, and after only living a few months in Berkeley, you became a vegan. What is it about the scene in Berkeley that makes it the epicenter of vegan activism? And how did going vegan coincide with your activism?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not just vegan restaurants. Berkeley's a very progressive city that's been on the forefront of numerous social justice movements throughout history. And animal rights is a social justice movement, so it's the next thing. Berkeley's going to lead the way with this movement, as it has with others. And Berkeley's already has a very active animal rights scene. When I transitioned from vegetarian to vegan, I was already involved. I got immediately involved with this community of animal rights activists. I never had to go through a lonely vegan phase, fortunately for me. I joined the Campus Animal Rights Club, which you mentioned, and then from some members of that group, I learned about Direct Action Everywhere and started doing activism. So veganism and activism were a quick transition for me in Berkeley.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about the campaign to make Berkeley the first meat-free city in the world. How exciting, and where are you guys in this goal?
It is really exciting because it's going to happen sooner than people think. DXE has a 40-year plan, a 40-year roadmap to animal liberation that culminates in a constitutional amendment giving animals protection under the law. But we know that's not going to happen overnight, and so the 40-year plan breaks down into many smaller goals along the way. And that starts with making Berkeley a vegan city by 2025. And then even within that goal, there's a lot of smaller steps along the way, too. So, for example, we're currently challenging humane labeling and marketing of animal products, because in all of our investigations of even humane, cage-free, free-range farms, we've consistently found violations of animal welfare laws and just blatant consumer fraud. So we think if we can start with getting people to recognize the reality of animal agriculture by changing the labeling here, then we'll actually be well on our way to a vegan city. And that's part of the plan to start here in Berkeley.
Nice. What is it about Direct Action Everywhere that spoke to you personally and has allowed you to do the kind of activism you're passionate about?
I found DXE, like I said, very soon after going vegan. And in that time as a new vegan, having just learned about so much violence that I had not known about before, I felt very compelled to share what I had learned with others. I couldn't believe, for example, that I'd never thought about the fact that mother cows will only produce milk when they're pregnant or nursing, which seems like such an obvious fact, but when we never really think about it, we just ignore it. And once I found DXE and realized there's this whole group of people who go right to the places where this ignorance is being perpetuated, where lies are being told, and they speak truth to power and demand nothing less than total animal liberation, I immediately felt empowered and emboldened. DXE investigators also go directly into the places where animals are being exploited, where this violence is happening, and they show the world the truth. So for me, it's very inspiring to ask for nothing less than what we want, which is total animal liberation, and to go right to the places where this is happening rather than, you know, any random corner of the street, talking to people. We're actually going to restaurants, to city council, we're going to farms and to slaughterhouses. We're going to the places where this issue needs to be addressed the most. So that's what's really inspiring to me.
You have two roles with DXE, organizer and investigator. Can you tell listeners about each role and any personal stories you have that relate to each?
Yeah, so as an organizer, I've organized events and I've organized protests, and DXE has a value of emergent leadership. So anyone who walks in the door, like me, my freshman year, has the opportunity to get involved as much as they want to and to grow and develop new skills. And that's what happened for me. I've grown a lot because of that value. I've gone from attending protests to marshaling actions of over 300 people, like the official animal rights march that just happened in Berkeley this past, just a couple weeks ago, as part of the California Convergence. Yeah, I mean, I was speaking to over 300 people and then guiding them through the streets of Berkeley as part of the march. And that's not something I saw myself doing just a couple of years ago, but it became something I'm much more comfortable and empowered to do because of that value that we have, where everyone who is inspired is welcome to lead. Yeah. And as an investigator, also something that I didn't picture myself doing a couple of years ago, but I've walked into farms in the middle of the night to document the conditions inside of them. And my first experience walking into a farm was at a cage-free egg farm. And although the birds didn't live in cages of wire, they did live in one giant cage of flesh. They, you know, there were thousands of birds crammed together in one dark shed. And that was the first time for me that I ever witnessed that much suffering, that I came face to face with that much suffering of thousands of individuals at once. And fortunately, I did help rescue two hens named Chloe and Maya, who now live at a sanctuary, and I visited them there. And it's a huge transition to see them finally living the lives they deserve. But unfortunately, you know, we couldn't save all of them. And so it is a heavy burden and a hard job to investigate these places. But like I said, it's important to show people the truth. And I am looking forward to the day when we can walk in with enough people to walk out with everyone inside.
Yeah, it's amazing what you can do when you have a supportive network of people with the same ideas, the same passion. What issues come up for you?
Power in numbers.
Yeah, exactly. What issues come up for you as a woman on the front lines, and how do you get support in these areas?
The DXE community in Berkeley is very loving and supportive. So that makes a huge difference in this kind of work that can be traumatic for people, just to know that you're not alone. And I have so many role models in the community, especially among the women in leadership who are organizing and directing powerful actions and challenging a system of oppression that literally relies upon the sexual exploitation of females, just because in order to continue breeding animals for food, the females of the species are going to be used. And I think many activists find inspiration from their own experiences of oppression And being a woman in this movement is one example of how you can better empathize with the victims, with the animals, because all oppression is connected. So we're not challenging animal exploitation in a vacuum. Mm-hmm. We have to do our best to recognize and challenge all forms of injustice. And being women in leadership roles has been inspiring to me. And now I guess you can say I'm one of those women
exactly.
in the leadership role.
For sure. I've watched many of your videos and your, it's great to have a young woman doing what you're doing. DXC differs from other animal activist networks in that they do open rescues. For those of our listeners who did not watch the open rescue live, can you tell us what happened and what has transpired since that last, the last one a week ago?
Well, first let me just say open rescue is rescuing animals, I guess, openly, but more specifically, revealing our faces, revealing what we found, coming forward bravely to share what was uncovered and to share the animal stories to resonate with people. So rather than just rescuing animals in the cover of night and never coming forward, open rescue brings these stories to light. And recently, what you're mentioning is a daylight open rescue, so it wasn't even in the cover of night, but as part of this California convergence, we had over 200 activists in daylight walk into an Oakland slaughterhouse where undercover cameras had revealed really horrific animal abuse. And we all bore witness to the suffering of the animals there, carrying red roses, and we were able to rescue three animals, a lamb, a quail, and a bunny. And the police arrived. Surprisingly, though, as Priya, one of the organizers, was walking out carrying a little baby quail who'd been taken from the kill floor, the police tried to stop her. And yet, after seeing her reaction and understanding that she felt this poor quail's pain and seeing the quail's pain because they were in horrible condition, the police officer himself actually asked one of the workers how much it would be to buy the quail and paid him a few dollars so that we could walk out with that animal. Wow. So even the people who it's literally their job to try to stop this rescue, they also recognize the importance of it, and they don't want to be the reason that animals are suffering. Nobody wants to cause animals pain. So when the police arrived, they did ask us to leave, but 23 activists, I was one of them, 23 activists stayed behind as an act of civil disobedience and refused to leave because we could leave, but the animals couldn't, and we wanted those animals to be released and get the lives they deserve. So 23 activists were arrested, and in the aftermath of that, Wayne, who was another organizer and who was arrested as well, actually had a chance to sit down and have a vegan meal with the owner of that slaughterhouse and talk to him about our perspective and hear his own perspective. That's something we don't really think about happening a lot, but, you know, we don't have hate for anyone. We know that this is a system of violence, and it's not, you know, any individual who we should have hatred for, but rather just the system that allows such violence to happen. Yeah. And that was a pretty productive conversation for them because it's still being worked out, but there's a chance that we might be able to save more animals because of this conversation.
That's so inspiring. And I watched it live, and I watched Wayne's post after about the conversation he had. And it's just, I have no words. I'm just so excited that this is happening.
Yeah.
So you were recently arrested for disrupting a football game by running across the field holding a stuffed toy piglet. And I have to say that is like I want to have it as a screensaver. That photo is so brilliant. And I've posted it on our website. Can you tell us about the story behind it?
Yeah. I ran on the field with a stuffed piglet, and immediately people were asking, I could even hear them from the field, "That a pig? I kept hearing people saying, "What is a pig? What is that?" And that was kind of the point, for people to be curious about what the message was here and what a pig might symbolize. And actually, I had an article published in a local paper that explained more about these raids that have been happening, that the FBI has been raiding sanctuaries after a recent DXC rescue of two piglets from a Smithfield farm in Utah. And unfortunately, it just these raids go to show you how connected the government is with animal agriculture, because instead of supporting activism and supporting the whistleblowing efforts that keep the public able to see what's happening, the FBI is going to great lengths to repress activism. And obviously their raids for looking for these baby piglets was just an attempt to intimidate activists and keep them from doing this kind of work. So instead of being intimidated, instead of being repressed, we've been working to bring more light to the issue through this. And that's what that was about when I ran on the field and did get more people to think about that. Mm-hmm. One of the articles actually said, that was written about it, you know, I'm thinking more about rescuing pigs now, which was a funny way to say that, yeah, people are thinking about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they went to great attempts to, do you want to talk about that? When they went to they actually tracked down some pigs at a sanctuary and tried to take DNA samples or something crazy.
Yeah, so the FBI agents showed up fully dressed in all their gear, stormed into these sanctuaries and actually cut off like an inch and a half of their pig's ears for a DNA sample, which is completely unnecessary because obviously there's far less brutal ways to take DNA samples nowadays. And they did that in the midst of the sanctuary owners and volunteers, which included children and grandparents, just crying and begging them to stop. And obviously the pigs crying too, because they're squealing in pain. Mm-hmm. And actually, they didn't continue to cut off the ear sample of the second pig at that sanctuary after witnessing so much trauma, because I'm sure even for them it was traumatic to have to see that much violence. So obviously it was going to a great extreme that was unnecessary, and we brought that to light as much as we could, and hopefully, well, we'll see what happens from here, I guess.
Yeah. So direct action everywhere is grounded in the belief that in order to end violence against animals, we must remain peaceful in the face of violence. Mm-hmm. And I've watched many DXE videos, and I'm always impressed at how each activist embodies nonviolence through their posture, their tone of voice, and the words that they speak. Can you tell me about some of your most memorable experiences embodying that peacefulness in the face of violence?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of events where violence towards animals is being celebrated, there's already just a energy that can perpetuate violence towards humans too. So in protests where I've had the role of speaking and I've delivered the message that we came to deliver, I've had people try to tear my sign out of my hands, and people try to shove me out of different places and push me, literally put their hands on me and push me. And fortunately, we do value nonviolence and really instill that value in everyone through training and exercise, and it's something you do need to practice. So with enough practice, I'm very capable now of not reacting, but it can be... It just goes to show you, I think, that violence begets violence. So when people are violent with us, with the activists, it's a reminder of the violence that's happening in those situations towards animals already. And we need to combat that violence with as much love and peace as possible. So that's what we all try to do, even as we're being pushed out. You know, you don't pull your sign back from someone. You don't try to push back against anyone. You just deliver the message that you have, because that's your goal.
Mm-hmm. That's so inspiring. Like many social movements that are making change, moving and growing in numbers, direct action everywhere is not exempt from its share of criticism. As a network, how do you deal with such criticisms?
Mm-hmm. That's true. There's an unfortunate amount of infighting within the animal rights movement and within different groups criticizing one another's tactics instead of focusing on their shared goal of animal rights. And criticism can be constructive, of course, but not when it's coming from this place of hate. So within DXE, differing opinions are encouraged, and questioning the way things are done is encouraged. We're always open to change, but always in a way that follows our values of compassion, of calling people in rather than calling them out, and so forth. We value radical candor, which means being in a loving, way as honest as you can. Mm-hmm. And that's the standard that we hold our community members to. So we expect that criticism to be delivered with love. And it should be, because if we're all fighting for the same thing and we all want the same thing, then we should want what's best for one another and to support one another and help one another achieve it.
Exactly.
And still, of course, some people will always be unhappy. You'll never please everyone. Mm-hmm. You probably know the phrase, haters gonna hate.
Yeah.
That's how I see it. And despite that, you have to keep fighting, because if you really believe in what you're doing, then you can't let ridicule or criticism stop you from doing it.
Exactly. As animal activists, we share a deep understanding of the atrocities facing animals and can often get overwhelmed and end up burning out. A question I always ask animal activists is, how do you find the balance between activism and just enjoying life? What strategies do you use to avoid compassion fatigue?
Mm-hmm. For me, that really comes down to the people in my life. I couldn't do all that I do without the support system I have of people here in Berkeley and our community who love and care about me and keep me grounded. And I also try to remember how fortunate I am, and that it's my responsibility to use my freedom to help those who are deprived of theirs. Because even when I'm going through something difficult, or I've had a bad day or a bad week, I remind myself that it's really nothing in comparison to what the animals are suffering right now by the billions. So while everyone's suffering should be taken seriously and be addressed, I think we should also use it to fuel us in our fight. And we should look for support from the people around us as well. And I also eat a lot of cookies.
I read that too.
I've found that cookies make most things better.
Yeah.
And I heard you talking about Cinnaholic. It's delicious.
Yeah, we're very excited.
It's a Cinnaholic here in Berkeley.
Oh, yeah. It started there, right?
Yeah.
So as a young activist working on the front lines, what advice would you give to other young people, especially young women who may be that one step away from moving towards getting more active?
Mm-hmm. I would say, if you care about animals, if you want them to have rights, then we need you, because there aren't enough people yet who are aware that that needs to be. And there's so many vegans in this country, but far too few animal rights activists. So if you feel passionate, then do what you need to do to take that step that you are away from activism. Get there. Maybe you need to look for activism near you, or start a VXE chapter where you are if you don't have one. Or move to Berkeley if you're ready to commit to full-time. There's a community here with open arms. But basically, I know everyone's coming from a different place in their lives, and everyone has, school or work or something else going on. But if it's something you're passionate about, then look for the ways that you can be doing it. And we also all have different skills, and maybe there's a specific skill that you can contribute to the movement. Maybe you are a wonderful video editor and you can edit videos, or maybe you know lots about law and you can do legal research for people planning different actions and different rescues. There's all sorts of ways to get involved. So if you're passionate, please find a way to get involved, because we need you.
Mm-hmm.
Cassie, I just want to say you can definitely hear your passion coming through with all of your words. You kind of touched on it a little bit earlier, but having, a support system is really important. I wonder what, if there are any people maybe outside of the DXE community that have inspired you, any role models that you have in your activist journey here, if you could share any stories about them or people that, have inspired you to continue on this quest that you're on.
Yeah, well, the members of my family inspire me every day. They've inspired me my whole life, but it's interesting now that I'm doing activism and that they continue to tell me how proud they are of me and to support me. That means a lot to me. I guess I look to the people in the animal rights community for inspiration with activism, but it is really helpful, you're right, to take a step back and think not just about who are activists inspiration, who that would be, but who's inspiring us to be the best that we can be individually.
Yeah.
And that would be the people who I know love me unconditionally, like my parents, for example, because I need someone to see me as an individual, right? Mm-hmm. And recognize all of my worth. because I'm more than an activist as well. I'm also a person, and being loved for who I am is that sort of support that I need to keep going and keep fighting.
And that's actually really, really rare in my experience. For, like, I know a lot of people, you know, turn to veganism or animal activism, and a lot of families kind of shun them, you know, once they take that turn, because they're so used to this person that they know, you know, being a certain way. So it's, I think you're really lucky that you have a family that supports you that way.
Yeah, I feel very lucky. Thank you.
Before we end, Direct Action Everywhere is joining with the SAVE movement to present the 2018 Animal Liberation Conference in Berkeley, which is expected to be the largest grassroots animal rights conference in U.S. history. It is the week of May 23rd to the 29th, 2018, and registration just opened, and I'm registered, and so is Kingston, yeah. So we're really excited. So what can you tell us about our listeners about what it's going to look like?
It is going to be the best week of your life. That's what I will tell you. Whether you're new to activism or you're a seasoned activist, because the Animal Liberation Conference is a chance for you to connect with hundreds of other activists from around the world, to learn from experts, to take part in mass actions like the ones we've been talking about, to be a part of making history and even saving lives. So if you're interested in coming, register, come meet me, come talk to me more. I would love to meet anyone who's interested. And yeah, and be prepared for a life changer.
So obviously a lot of people that are going to be listening to the show are from Vancouver. And obviously we do have a DXC chapter here as well. But if there was any way that people that are listening to our show could support the work that you're doing directly, or if there's anything that we could follow you on, if you wanted to get your name out there a little bit more, is there any way that we could do that?
Well, my name is not so important, but please follow Direct Action Everywhere, and please share when we are live streaming, when we're doing important actions. Please share exactly what we're doing, sign our petitions, because having that support empowers and keeps our activists safe when they're taking risks to their own freedom, you know, by doing civil disobedience or whatever they may be doing. When there's a network of people around the world, in Vancouver, wherever they might be, sharing this, these videos and signing these petitions and showing support, even calling when we need people to make phone calls. There's so much you can do from afar. So please, you know, follow Direct Action Everywhere on Facebook or online. They have a website. Just show your support in every way you can, because we want people to see that this movement is rising.
Awesome. Thanks, Cassie. And thank you for being on the show today and sharing your experiences as an activist and all the latest actions that are happening with Direct Action Everywhere. Your passion and commitment for animals is totally inspiring to me, and I'm sure everybody that's listening. So keep up the great work that you're doing.
Oh, thank you. Your radio show is inspiring to me.
Oh, thanks. For those of you interested in learning more about Direct Action Everywhere, you can go to directactioneverywhere.com. There is a Vancouver chapter that meets regularly for community building potlucks, monthly actions, and volunteer days. You can also find out more about this passionate group of people on Facebook.
Did you know that Vancouver Co-op Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM, has over 90 different shows produced by over 350 community members? This wide range of programming produced by our diverse group of programmers ensures that we have a show you'll love. We have shows on feminism, spirituality, disability rights, politics, unions, and parenting. We play jazz, indie rock, reggae, blues, and folk. We broadcast in a dozen different languages and have more First Nations programs than any other radio station in Vancouver. Find your show on Vancouver Co-op Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM. All different, all the time.
Big chance, so don't blow it.
We're here to present the cutting edge radio you want to hear. What about a program featuring just local Vancouver bands?
No market for that.
We have an expert on gospel music.
No.
Our public affairs programs dig deep with voices other stations won't touch.
No.
Programs with First Nations hosts?
Sorry, no market for that.
We've got a lot of shows in other languages for people all over the world. Folk music?
You're kidding, right? Who would sponsor that?
Can't make big bucks with programs people want to hear? You have to go to Co-op Radio for that. Community-owned radio. Now at 100.5 FM. The switch is on.
Got to say, that was an amazing interview. And the main reason I asked if there was a way that we could follow her was because, I mean, I wanted to know more about this person just because she was super inspiring and passionate about what she was talking about.
I know. I've got goosebumps.
Yeah. And I mean, this is a perfect example of this programming. And again, it is our member drive, the fall member drive. And what a great example of why you should be donating and supporting Co-op Radio, because you're not going to find an interview like that on any other station. You're not going to hear a voice like Cassie's on any other station. Again, if you do want to donate for us today, the number to call is 604-684-8494. You could also donate directly at cooperadio.org and click the donate button. If you are going to be donating, just remember to mention that you are donating on behalf of Animal Voices, as we do have a quota to fill as well for our show. Again, if you are donating, you're not just handing over your money to us. You are entitled to exclusive member benefits at Co-op Radio. You can learn more about some of this stuff at cooperadio.org, but just as an example, you get access to a tax receipt. You get access to giveaways if any shows are doing those. You could also become more directly involved. You can become a volunteer if you like. You have access to do all the stuff that we're doing. There are a lot of shows that actually do need help at Co-op Radio. Some of these opportunities you would be able to find at cooperadio.org. We also need help all the time, so if you wanted to help out at Animal Voices, you're definitely welcome to. But if you want to take advantage of any of these opportunities, then you do need to be a member. Again, the number to call for our fall member drive is 604-684-8494, or you could donate directly at cooperadio.org. I don't know if you have anything to add to that at all, but No, not really.
Oh, please, please become a member.
Yeah. Again, we really appreciate it. We cannot keep this show going without your donations, without your support. Co-op Radio as a station cannot continue to exist without your support. It is a very unique station. Again, in Vancouver, at least, there is nothing quite like Co-op Radio that offers such a unique opportunity for all these different communities across the city. I have had nothing but good things to say about my experience here so far.
And if you're a business or an activist community in Vancouver, the mainland, actually anywhere, you can always just send us a Facebook or email us if you want us to put something on the air. If you have any suggestions, we're totally open to that, and we'll try and fit everything in.
Yeah. So again, the number to call is 604-684-8494. Or again, if you want to do it the easy way and not talk to one of us, you can do that at cooperadio.org. Click the donate button. And again, don't forget to mention that you're donating on behalf of Animal Voices.
Thank you for listening to Animal Voices here on 100.5 FM CFRO Vancouver Co-op Radio in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Tune in next Friday for an interview with Melinda Cirasano, author of the book Heaven is for Animals Too. And remember to be kind to the animals. This is No Bones, No Blood by Ja Sun, featuring Ras Attitude and Lutan Fia.
You man, I treat a vegan way, you know?
Attitude on Jason.
You man, I loot and fire Jason the Ross attitude.
Tell him to loot on. All you for kill for eat.
For real, king man.
All them say swine in a them dinner.
So when I got young one dead, you know?
Fire,
blaze. Treat the toughest way.
No bones, no blood in the kitchen. We not gonna mix up in a vampire living. No bones, no blood in the kitchen. And I respect for life. Run, here come the butcher man when he caught me with his knife. I'm more pain, I'm more death, I'm beer murder. Life didn't take for them steak and hamburger. There is the plant, some seed in the mud. Then to take you some flesh and go buzz of blood. Carnivore, stop fighting it, stop fighting.
put some food up on the plate. I mean, I need no hook, me I need no bait. I unite the roots, me food, me not fish shoot. Or give me vegetable and some fruit. Make us a
no bones, no blood in our kitchen. Stop from look up in a them health book page. Vegetarians will always live, cause everything we eat it always positive. And everything you drink it never yet negative. You are what you eat, that's why you walk like pig. You are what you eat, that's why you are like pig. You treat your body wrong, you wanna grave, you are dead. Yo, don't panic, cause I'm organic. Here's soy soup in my kitchen, yes, I got it. Yo, don't panic, cause I'm organic. Lentil peas in my soup, I got it. Yo, don't panic, cause I'm organic, vegan life, me live and none of them can't stop it. Yellow bash, okra and squash, yes, me got it. Ready for go boil it and stop it.
No bones, no blood in the kitchen. We not gonna mix up in no vampire. No bones, no blood in the kitchen. Say, Rastafari, I am a greatest ambition.
No bones, no blood in the kitchen.
Me synchronize with the most high vision.
No.
The butter we cooking and natural herbs. Something we dinner. Tell them no bones, no flesh. No. Alright, yes, natural herbs. Something we dinner. Hey, the high tell is high. Telling them the butter we cooking and natural herbs. Something we dinner. We got them on a loot and fire. Tell them root, strong back, and sassy perilla. Fruit, orange, mango, and guava. Vegetable salad with peanut and gyasso. With some clean drinking water. A bucket full of herbs, have some strong marijuana. Yes, they know that I'm a mama. Hey, the food that I eat is my medicine. Tell them I'm a real bush doctor. Cleanse them with garlic and bitters. I now go jump and room filthy liquors. But tell them marijuana make me slippers. No pork chops in my flitters.